WTCM News Talk 580, it's time for New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. And joining us today in the studio, as always, the whole gang is here, led by Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's great to be here, Ron. Thank you. On 720, Thursday, 2023, and in studio is our own air drummer, the one and only Ron Jolliman.
He's very impressive.
Yeah, I he was right on. You know. He must have heard this song before.
I've heard the song before, yes.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's great to be here. If you do have a question of a financial nature, either text or call. How would they do that if you would, Ron?
You would get hold of a phone, and dial 231 area code, call 947-0023, or the text line's 833-728-1147. Make that 833-728-1140.
And if you are listening on Saturday, it is a rebroadcast. But as Colleen has said in the past, if you do text because you happen to have a question, we would get to it then the next week because it actually is recorded or, you know, something like that.
It's preserved.
And listen to that voice. Heidi Cartwright. Welcome.
Hey.
Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's a little dark outside today, but some rain coming our way, I think.
You bet. We may be interrupted with a big storm coming on the way. So we'll see, given the incredible reach, as Kim said out there, of WTCMAM, we may have to break for a quick weather note. Yeah, during the show. We'll see. Heidi Cartwright, our own retirement income certified professional and teacher in-house. You were teaching a class yesterday.
Yes, we had a nice turnout for our second Lunch and Learn. This is our new monthly program that we're going to have on the third Wednesday of every month. And I think Nathan has our topic for next month.
Yeah, that's right. August 16th, we will be talking about avoiding 60-day rollover mistakes. So that is August 16th. That is at noon on that Wednesday. And we would love to see you there.
Yep. And clients and anyone who's interested are welcome. Just call our office and make a reservation.
Yes, 60-day rollover mistakes only occurs for pre-retirees, right? We don't have to worry about that if we're after retirement. Could that happen then?
Yeah, you may want to do a 60-day rollover after you're retired. You may want to you take some money out, and then you decide, hey, you know, I don't need this. I'm going to put it back in. And if you do that within 60 days, then you're all good with no tax.
But if you try to do it twice in a year.
Oh, then that's bad. That's a mistake. So that's one of those mistakes.
Yeah. So mistakes could mean 10, 20, if I can say 10, 30% in taxes. And it could also mean penalties if you're under 59, age 59 and a half. So those rollover mistakes and rules can be critical in terms of having that kind of flexibility that you want and need in your retirement accounts. Because as I'm going to be talking about here later, I know, no, it's okay. You're on the edge of your seat. Well, actually, I'm in the car driving, Dennis. Hurry it up, would you? So I get the other side of that. But just one moment, if we can talk about this briefly, what you can do with these retirement accounts, as Heidi was teaching yesterday. What are the options you have in regard to QCDs and RMDs? It's amazing what the options are and the flexibility. Did you know, for instance, that, Ron, if you're over 70 and a half, you could gift up to $50,000 to a charitable gift annuity in 1 year? Why would you want to do that?
Why would I want to do that?
See, he asks. Thank you for the cue. He might want to do that because he wants to give, in essence, in the end, to a charity, that amount to charity. It doesn't have to be $50,000. It could be $10,000, $20,000, whatever. But he also may want a guaranteed income for the rest of his life. Darling Laura, you know I've always wanted a guaranteed income.
So
he might not say it in quite that way.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
So how do you get a guaranteed income? By giving $50,000, in your example, to a nonprofit annuity.
See, I pulled you right in, didn't I?
You did.
See, that's what a charitable gift annuity does.
Charitable gift annuity.
Charitable gift annuity. Charitable gift annuity. Mm-hmm. It gives you income for the rest of your life, usually in the range of 6-7% lifetime.
Hmm.
And there's no tax on that gift to that charity. Well, I've always loved St. Jude Children's Hospital as an example. Might I want to do that? You might. You know, there's some negatives to it. You can only do it once. And so in that year that you do that, and I'm taking quite a rabbit trail here, but I just wanted to make the point, it is truly incredible what you can do with these accounts. That's why we're master elite advisors at Ed Slot & Company. Why? Because we get this information. That's what Heidi's going to be discussing today, is a bit of a rule change for non-spouse beneficiaries, that generally means children, who inherit an IRA from mommy and daddy. Okay.
So can we go back to the charitable gift annuity?
See, I got them still.
I've got $50,000 here.
Yes, sir.
And I want to give it to St. Jude's, as you said in your example.
Yes.
Here you go, St. Jude's. It's in the form of an annuity.
Yes.
Each year that annuity pays out money, and
correct.
I get it.
Correct.
I get it.
As income. Yep.
What does St. Jude's get?
They get, in essence, the promise that when you pass away, that gift then goes to them.
What's ever left in the account would go to St. Jude's.
I would call it like the base or the principal, you mean, whatever's in there. Okay.
The basis, principal, you bet.
How about that?
So, you know, it may be, it doesn't have to be, again, $50,000, but if you want a 6-7% guaranteed income and you're going to give that money to charity anyway at your death, or you would consider a part of it, why not have that conversation with your favorite financial advisor at Pro Financial Design?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Do you get a tax deduction for if it's over a certain amount, say $50,000 for a charitable gift?
No deduction, but it's not taxable when you give it properly to that charitable gift annuity from your IRA. Now, keep in mind, there are some rules and regulations. You do want to follow those.
And one reason why we bring this one up is because this is something that was a rule change that happened late last year in December. It was passed. And this had never been allowed before, where you're allowed to receive something back when doing a QCD type of donation. So it's new territory out there for some of the charities and for people who want to do QCDs.
Bottom line for the people who've saved. For retirement, I've been doing this now for a while. You take one look at me and you say, well, yeah, that's the case for sure. How old are you after all? Did you see, by the way, speaking of rabbit trails, it's my favorite day for rabbit trails, the article on the gentleman who's 90 years old and been working out since 1945.
Mm-mm.
He never leaves the workout place. Just kidding. But he's from L.A. 90 years old.
90 years old. He's buff.
Pretty good shape. He's buff.
That's a guy I know. His doctor said, well, from now on, you should advise you walk 2 miles a day, and his family hasn't seen him since.
Got lost in the wind. Forrest Gump all over again.
Right. Hello, check 1, 2. There's a snap, crackle, pop from the storm, but we're here.
Okay.
We're good.
The storm up close and personal. So Nathan is also joining us, as you've heard him. He's going to be our statistician today.
Statistician.
So today we're talking about beware the retirement hazard zone. Years immediately after age 59 and a half, we finally get to the subject at hand. But the first phase, accumulation, not to be discounted, as it was in this article from Kiplinger, beware the retirement hazard zone. So what did I do last night? I pulled out my handy-dandy HP and looked at some interest rates. Now, these interest rates are not guarantees or promises for the future. They're just compounding illustrations, all right? The illustration of the effect of compounding. So, Ron, if you put $1,000 a month in for 360 months, or some would say 30 years, now that's a pretty hefty sum, especially when you're getting started.
How much?
$1,000 a month.
Okay.
$1,000 a month for 360 months. What's the net or the principal? What 1,000 times 360 is?
$360,000.
Excellent.
It's what you put into
plus,
it.
Sir. $360,000. If your account earned 5% over that 30-year period, relatively conservative rate of return, the principal as well as interest is $835,726.
Mm-hmm.
$835,000, we'll just say. If it earned 6%, we bump it up by 1%. It's over $1 million. $1,009,000. We'll bump all the way down to 9%. 0.75% per month for those who really want to know. $1.8 million. Five times the amount.
And that's for 30 years.
30 years even.
So that people could start saving that $1,000 a month as late as their 30th birthday. Get established in your 20s and then start popping in $1,000 a month, right?
And that's like $500 a paycheck.
It is.
If you get paid twice a week.
Yeah.
Right. It's actually a bit more than $1,000 a month if you talk to most accountants out there.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about that is the impact of compounding. That's why, was it Einstein that called it man's second greatest invention? Anyway.
The wonder of the world.
The wonder
something.
Of the world. So turning 59 and a half, you are allowed to begin withdrawals from 401ks and IRAs without the penalty, the 10% penalty, as we've mentioned before. Why? You want to continue to invest as accumulation phase, not anticipating income needs. You may need to think about, what are my options? What are my options with these funds? You could possibly do an in-service distribution or in-service withdrawal. Why would you want to do that again for that anticipation? Because you need more investment options. Or you simply want more flexibility because you're relatively certain you're going to retire at age 62. And you want to set that lump sum amount up for income.
Mm-hmm.
So as in much of life, much of it can be in the setup. The setup is important. The stats on anticipated retirement age. I actually pulled this off our Retirement Planning Today class. About two-thirds of the population, we'll just say it this way. For those who were polled, 25% thought they'd retire at age 65. 25%. From age 66 through 69, about 13%. Age 70, 26%. Thought they'd retire at age 70 plus.
Mm.
The actual number of those who actually retired after age 70, a paltry 6%.
Wow.
So two-thirds actually retired between 60 and about 65.
Mm.
So much younger than anticipated. So think about that in terms of these retirement accounts. Do I perhaps need to set this up a bit earlier than I had considered just because of the stats related to possibly needing this money earlier? And some great questions to think about from this article. I thought were good. Number one, have I saved enough? Two, will my money last throughout retirement? And three, is my family accounted for in my plans? These are common questions most cannot answer. One, again, have I saved enough? Two, will my money last throughout retirement? And lastly, is my family accounted for in my plan or plans?
Right, and we call this phase a lot the money in motion phase. Once you hit that 59 and a half and you have all that flexibility, like you said, at the in-service distributions, where you can maybe position your money a little bit different than you had it in
Correct.
Your company plan.
Yes, important stuff. So as a part of this, thinking strategically, not strategically.
Strategically?
I don't know that.
Strategically.
I don't know if
that's
a word.
Strategically. So this can cause, once you got these questions answered, the quote is, this can cause a pivotal change in your outlook for the future. Well, duh. Getting these answers to your questions, some that you ought to have, some that you might have on your own. This is where you can go back and forth with a good financial advisor in talking through these things. What's important to you about retirement? What do you hope to accomplish? What are you hoping to do in your retirement? To be able to think about that? Because your career has had you that engaged.
Not working.
Yeah,
yes.
Period. my couch is my new friend. You know, whatever it is. Then you can also know that your financial plan is not left to stock market gyrations. is your retirement account and does it need to be able to create income? That is a key portion of that. For some, no. I want to let this accumulate for as long as I can because I'm not really going to count on my retirement account. There are some who say that. There are others who are saying, I need to draw somewhere between 4 and 6% per year out of my retirement accounts, especially because we want to have some fun while we're younger. Everyone is different. So where are you? And is your retirement account set up for that? There was a great quote from years ago, and I'll just say the name of the fund, American Funds. They said, everyone is saving this money for something, and we try to keep that in focus. This money is meant for something. What is it for you? So to thine own self be true. Those clients who can be more specific about what it is they're hoping their money will accomplish will most always do better with their financial advisor. It's not quite the same, of course, but in many respects, being able to communicate with your doctor about what's going on can be very similar in some respects to that. And understanding your risk tolerance is a part of this too. What are you willing to accept? What can you expect? What should you expect from a portfolio like this in real dollar terms? So you just see there are a lot of things that go on to the mix when it comes to this.
The question on the text line, what are the pros and the cons of treasury bonds?
Pros and cons are pros. They're guaranteed by the federal government. Cons are they tend to be longer term in nature and will necessarily fluctuate more with interest rates. So part of that is 10, 20, 30 years out. Mm. That is quite a long time.
But there is the option of a treasury bill, which is much shorter maturity. Treasury bills have a maturity of a year or less, and those tend to go up and down with the interest rate, but can be a good short-term option, still getting that faith and credit of the U.S. government behind that.
See, that's why we have Heidi on the show. Well, we already knew that, Dennis. Thank you. So this particular gentleman or lady, whomever, is asking us about bonds, and I immediately went to, okay, bonds are the longer term, but bills are still guaranteed by the Treasury. Money in and out as you wish. And what's interesting is we've got an inverted yield curve going on here.
Exactly.
What does that mean? We're at somewhere between 5.2 as of today, 5.2 to 5.5% on T-bills. So a really nice interest rate, and you get your money back out if you like as well.
Mm.
Very liquid. And maturities, again, anywhere from usually 30 days to 1 year on treasury bills. So it's amazing what's going on with interest rates these days and how much you can get from short-term paper, if you will.
Yep.
Great point, Heidi. Thank
is there you. A limit to what you can put into a treasury bill?
The limit is your checkbook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your budget and your imagination.
Mm-hmm. So Heidi's going to be discussing here IRA Notice 2023-54.
So exciting.
Well, it's interesting for those who are non-spouse beneficiaries, in essence, usually children, who have inherited these IRAs from mommy and or daddy.
Mommy.
Right. So some of these rules are a little technical, but hang with us and we'll try to sum it up at the end of each section. So if you're an IRA beneficiary and you're subject to the 10-year payout period and would have had a 2023 RMD or required minimum distribution, you are in luck because this new notice, 2023-54, was issued last Friday, July 14th. So this is hot off the press. The IRS said it would excuse those RMDs. The IRS also said that it would extend the 60-day rollover deadline for IRA and plan account owners who were born in 1951.
Time out. Lots of numbers there.
Yes, indeed.
So you're talking about if you inherited, right, an IRA?
Right.
And you're supposed to like take it all out within 10 years, supposedly, right?
Right. And the reason they had to come out with this notice is because they sort of messed things up by not fully disclosing how this rule was going to work. So the Secure Act was the one that started that non-spouse beneficiaries of IRAs who died in 2020 or later could no longer stretch RMDs or required minimum distributions over their lifetime. They changed the rule to say that they were subject to a 10-year rule where they had to get all the money out of that beneficiary IRA by the end of the 10th year following the date of death. So in the Secure Act regulations, the IRS surprised everybody by saying, in addition to the 10-year rule, which everybody was going by, annual RMDs. So you had to take an RMD out if you're the beneficiary that was required in years 1 through 9 of the 10-year period.
So I thought in the past, I thought you said, suppose there's $1 million in there. Your mom or dad have died and you are the non-spouse child beneficiary.
Right.
You've got to take all that out. Within 10 years, you could take it all in the first year, all in the 10th year, 100 grand a year. Couldn't you do it any way you wanted to?
You can always take out more. But if you wanted to take out the minimum in those and stretch out the rest over 10 years, if your parent who passed away and left you that IRA, if they were already taking those required minimum distributions because they had hit that trigger age for that, then you have to continue to take them in years 1 through 9.
Now, it's the at least as much rule. So mom was, let's say, taking 4% per year to make it simple. You indeed have to take 4% per year as well.
Got it.
Right. So if you had an account owner that died in 2020, that beneficiary should have taken their first required minimum distribution in year 2021, year one of the 10-year period, even though nobody thought that was necessary because it didn't follow previous rulings. So the correction or the guidance didn't come out until later in 2022. So even the IRS... This is when you know it's bad. Even the IRS said, this is unfair. So they said in October of 2022, they said that they would excuse RMDs for anyone in this group of non-spouse beneficiaries who missed taking that 2021 RMD. They also added those RMDs for 2022 because it didn't come out until October.
And now 2023 as well.
And now they're adding 2023. So what does all this mean? And I'll try to sum it up for you. So if you're a non-spouse beneficiary and you inherited in 2020 from an IRA owner who died after the required beginning date, your first 3 years of RMDs are now waived. So you didn't have to take them.
Wow. Now, why can this make a difference? Because, of course, if you do need a break from the income, who needs a break from the income? I mean, really, well, perhaps you're earning enough from work, real estate, whatever it is. You don't want to pay the greater tax today. It just gives you that flexibility as an option.
And there's also a penalty if you don't take the RMD and you're supposed to, which is pretty hefty.
So they waive that penalty, of course, as a part of this.
Right. So it can make a difference, especially if that RMD is quite a sizable amount. The penalty would be sizable as well. All right. So we're going to jump into the second part of the notice that came out last Friday. And this is our 60-day rollover relief. So we're changing the conversation and we're going to individual IRA owners. So this is the person who's actually contributed the money into the account. So if you're an IRA owner born in 1951 and you received or will receive a distribution because you thought you needed an RMD, because what they did in December of last year is they changed the age from 72 to 73. So people who are planners and looking ahead, they might have taken that RMD at the beginning of this year because they thought that they had to take it. And so what the IRS is telling you is that because the rule was so late in the year, they are going to give you a period of time where you can put that money back into the IRA without penalty. So if your RMD was $5,000 and in January you took that $5,000 out because you were going to get it done, and you're like, wow, I wouldn't have taken that out if I didn't have to. I don't want to have to pay income tax on that. They are going to give you until September 30th of 2023 to put that money back, sort of make the IRA whole again.
See, that's why you listen to the show. I mean, all of a sudden you found a huge, huge tax saving tactic from new retirement radio. You heard it here first.
Right. And that's why, you know, all of these notices we review and we kept in form. Ed Slot Group helps us with that. And it's really important if you're taking money out of your IRA or putting money back into your IRA that you're talking to your financial advisor and one that's versed in this kind of.
So who gets to put the money back in? What kind of a beneficiary or what kind of an account owner gets to put the money back in if they've already taken it out?
It's the original account owner. If they took out their RMD because they thought that the age was 72 and it now moved to 73.
Yeah.
So that's people born in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
You
Lots
can put that money back into the IRA with no penalty, no tax. And so you can avoid having to claim that income this year.
Go back to collect $200. There you go, Ron.
I don't know about the $200.
I knew you'd have a problem with that, so I said it anyway. Do we have a question on the text line, Ron, if you would?
Let's see. It says, this is being referenced to the IRA changes that Heidi was just speaking about. It says, are the Roth rules the same?
And Ron said,
there are no RMDs required for Roth.
Yay! But there is one thing.
What about a Roth IRA? No, there's where the Roth IRA, yeah. There's no RMD. Right. Yeah,
right. Roth IRA or beneficiary IRA, there are no RMDs. However, as Heidi says,
have to get, if it's a beneficiary Roth IRA, that 10-year rule applies, and you have to get all the money out of there. It will not be a taxable event to the beneficiary, but they can't keep it in longer than the 10 years.
Uh-huh. No taxes.
Yay.
Right. Tax-free. I always knew Daddy loved me. All right. Nathan, we've got some stats.
That's right. So according to MFS, markets have rallied in the wake of a significant decline in U.S. inflation readings in June. At the headline level, prices fell a percentage point from May to June, with the CPI rising 3% from a year earlier, from 4% in May. So the closely watched core reading fell more than expected to 4.8% from the 5.3% rate posted the month prior.
So inflation's on the way down, in essence.
Right. Equities have rallied strongly on rising hopes that the Fed will halt its tightening cycle after a final 0.25% hike later this month. Markets have nearly priced out the additional hike the Fed policymakers had penciled in when they met in June. Resulting of that, bond yields have also tumbled after the data, with the 10-year yield shedding about 0.2% to 3.77% after the data.
As a reference point, on January 3rd of 2022, the Dow was at about 36.5. Today, it's a little over 35,000. It's up almost 200 points today. Obviously, short term, but an interesting reference point nonetheless.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that those increases in the interest rate have slowed up, and they're thinking maybe one more, according to what Nathan was reporting. So, I mean, it went up. We had so many last year, and they were one after the other. So it's sort of slowing a little bit.
Shows the resilience of the economy. And, here's the Fed, as we discussed last week, raising interest rates on an economy when they're at fault for the huge money supply and the most of the CPI pressure within the economy because of their excessive spending. So, they're trying to solve the problem by pointing the finger at someone else. In essence, it's just a convoluted way for them to calm the economy down. The economy doesn't really need calming down. the Fed does. So just to put a point on that.
Good news, I'll say. Congressman Bill Huizinga from Holland, Michigan, Republican, and a Democrat from California have teamed up together and formed the Fiscal Sanity Forum or something. But their idea is to get bipartisan members in conversation to address the debt and the way they actually make budgets. So there's some adults in Washington.
That's nice.
That's good.
Fiscal sanity. Good. That would be a new concept.
Good
for
first step.
Yeah. We'll see how many sign up for that group, right?
All right. So the NASDAQ is set to rebalance its index as well. They announced late Friday, July 7th, that the index will undergo a special rebalance late this month to reduce the index's concentration, where the top five constituents accounted for a nearly 43.8% weighting in the index at Monday's close.
Five stocks represent, in essence, 44% of the value of the NASDAQ.
That's right. And their weighting recently reached 48%, a level that triggered the rebalance. It will become effective before the market opens on July 24th, and changes to the index will force funds, of course, that track it to adjust their portfolios and sell shares of companies that have their weight in the index reduced.
Now, hang on a moment. This just shows the incredible power of these companies and their earnings potential, the whole AI revolution. It's incredible what's happening. They grew so much in value that NASDAQ is having to rebalance the index.
Which hardly ever happens.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and these five companies, let's see, we have Tesla, we have Amazon.
Hang on a second. What would be the other three, Ron, if you would guess?
I'm going to go Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, Alphabet.
Wrong on Facebook.
Yeah, so we have...
Microsoft.
Good guess. Yes.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Microsoft, Alphabet,
Tesla.
Amazon, Tesla.
Did you say Apple in that list?
The Apple. Yeah, yeah. Apple there. Apple. Yeah, the other
the top five.
Yeah, how about that?
As my mother-in-law used to say, apples.
Could you have just a good stock portfolio if you just threw all your money into those five?
At the beginning of this year, we'd have a wonderful portfolio because it would be up like dynamo. And what were they saying at the beginning of this year? Oh, my gosh, those stocks all took the beating during last year. Growth was in the tank last year. So that's looking in the rearview mirror. Unfortunately, the rearview mirror is not a good indicator of what the future holds. All right?
All right. SEC is also adopting new money fund rules. Hang with me a second. I promise it gets interesting. So the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission voted 3-2 on Wednesday to adopt rule changes governing money market funds to prevent runs on those funds during times of extreme market stress. The final rule requires certain money market funds used by institutions to impose fees when daily net redemptions exceed 5% of net assets. The funds will also be required to keep at least 25% of their holdings in instruments that mature in one day, up from 10% currently, and at least 50% of their assets and holdings that mature within a week, up from 30%.
So this is like a response to the Silicon Valley and the other bank debt.
SVB and I forget what the other one was, already in the dust, if you will.
Republic?
I'm certain.
I'm not sure.
The real key, the real interesting thing about this is they're installing a significantly greater degree of security by ramping back the level or the average maturity of those funds within there. So as the maturity comes down in terms of where the maturity of the portfolio is, the volatility in that portfolio comes down as well. So that makes it much easier for these money funds to liquidate to satisfy when Ron writes a check for $3 million on his money market fund.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so it was First Republic Bank.
First Republic, Silicon Valley, and there was a third one, wasn't there?
Signature Bank.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Out of
Just
New
to
York.
Be clear.
Yeah. Good job, Heidi.
Yeah. Foreign investment in China has tumbled. The Wall Street Journal reported Thursday that President Xi's recent regulatory crackdown has negatively impacted foreign direct investment flows to China. FDI fell to $20 billion in the first quarter of 23 from $100 billion in 2022 as foreign companies weighed the risks of running afoul of China's expanded anti-espionage law amid worries that even routine business activities, such as market research, could be construed as spying. There is a growing perception that doing business in China has become riskier, and that is helping choke off the flow of capital into the country.
You know, we could hold a whole show on the value of freedom in this country. And those that would try to hurt our freedoms and or come down on those freedoms because they're paranoid in control dictatorships don't work. Don't work in this world. And where's the money going to flow? Out. It's going to go elsewhere. Now, I get it. I get a bit preachy about that because I believe firmly in the value of freedom and our ability to have an economy that operates with accountability. I still remember John Templeton, an old-time money manager, talking about this great country we live in that has all of these components, freedom, a relatively, we'll say, value-conscious society, a society with values, where laws are still held pretty much, we can say, even today, where there is accountability, where accountants actually look at the books so that you can know, okay, are they following the rules? Am I able to invest in this company knowing that they're operating on the up and up? All of these components add to the trust factor so that we can invest and continue to grow an economy, and these companies can do the same because they have the freedom to operate. Most of the rules around government today are to prevent the weak from losing. They're not to prevent the strong from succeeding. They're still to prevent the weak from, you know, falling off the wagon. Hopefully, that continues into the future with an even greater degree than it is today, because our freedoms are continually being assailed, I think, in this world in which we live, because of too much control by our governments in the world.
It would be nice if less investments going into China, if we could bring some of that production back to the U.S.
It would. And guess what? It probably will.
Yeah.
Because the value of competition.
Yeah. And again, another stat related to China and a sign of weakening global demand. Exports from China fell 12.4% year over year in June, which is the largest fall since February of 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic.
Perhaps President Xi will look in the mirror at this one and say, you know, maybe I'm a little too paranoid. The problem with communism is it grows paranoia as their need for power and control only seem to increase with time. That's the problem with, well, one of the many problems with communism. So we've got a few minutes left here, Ron. How are we doing?
A couple of minutes here.
All right. Do we have any more stats? I thought there was, there another stat, Nathan? Are we good?
Yeah, there is one more stat related to AI.
Please cover it.
AI.
Yep. A report from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development estimates that 27% of jobs are at high risk from the adoption of artificial intelligence.
Wow.
That's a lot.
It is.
Wow.
You know, we'll see just what that means. You know, what kind of jobs could they do? But, you know, the robots, some of them, I mean, frankly, no one else wants to do, really. Yeah. So they may do some repetitive tasks. I've seen some of those robots, you know, they're able to install them in very difficult environments so that they can check, you know, for instance, if there's huge radioactivity within a particular utility or whatever it is, they have to send robots in to do all the checks. In terms of checking all the numbers and the stats.
Get robots check out the artificial intelligence.
Yes, they do.
How are we feeling today?
I don't know. Conflict of interest.
Right, right.
Yeah, they have to check the operations of that particular facility to make certain that they're still properly functioning, if you will.
Yep.
And we're all out of time.
We are.
Well, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout, along with Heidi Cartwright from Prout Financial Design. It's New Retirement Radio, Thursdays at 10 and repeating at 9 on Saturday mornings. Thank you all for being in.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives advisory services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.